Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans. For those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, it's the Hoffman Show, hour number two here on the Team 980. Typically not my beat time, but Sam Fortier had to go back to his day job of actually reporting the things that he'll write in the newspaper and hopefully tell us when he joins us. So we have room to take calls, and apparently we should be taking calls at 5 o'clock more often, because for all of our struggle to get people to call in yesterday at the usual time that we take a bunch of calls on a Tuesday, holy cow, we have the fullest phone lines we've had in a while as you guys are ready to talk about this Commanders and Lions showdown on Saturday. We asked, what's one thing you feel good about? What's one thing that scares you about this matchup Saturday night? Let's get things started with John in Falls Church. John, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well.
So I think a great opportunity, but it's also the other side of the coin, is if the Commanders jump out to some sort of lead or a couple of good things happen for them, turnovers, you know, long drives, and a three and out or something like that, there's that opportunity where the crowd could get tense and the team could get tense. And it could suddenly be, instead of a positive to be playing at home as a favorite, suddenly turn into a situation where they're trying too hard to win the game and they're just not used to that.
I think that's definitely possible. I mean, I think Detroit's pretty battle-tested. I think they're pretty mentally tough, and I think they have a high level of belief. But I do think that, like, that tension in the building, and, you know, I would think about, John, thanks for the call. Like, I would think about what would happen if we were in Landover and the same situation was on its head, and you have a bunch of people just going like, oh, God, here we go again. At this point, I don't know if that exists with this team because of just how ridiculous they've been in these games where there's a faith that Jaden will find a way. In five, we trust. But considering the sorted and maybe not sorted, it's not the right word, the twisted, just like heartbreaking history of the Detroit Lions, I could see that potentially being the case where there's a weird feeling in the building, and then how do they respond to that? But I would trust guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown to go say, like, well, F it, I'm going to go make a play. So I think that's definitely something to watch. All right, let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. Something you feel good about and or something that scares you about Saturday night?
I'm going to be honest with you, Craig. I think what I feel good about is I feel good about this game. And what scares me is the disrespect of Detroit that I'm getting from the Detroit media towards the Commanders. And I will say this, and you know, I said this on Russell's show yesterday. This is a huge game for ownership and management to stick it to Ben Johnson. You know, he's been mysteriously quiet this week so far. Very quiet. And
Hold on, Mark. Before we go too far down a rabbit hole here, what Detroit media have you seen that's been disrespectful towards the Commanders?
Well, I mean, go to YouTube, bruh. Craig, if you go to YouTube, everything from Detroit. I do a preview of every opponent that the Commanders play and what they talk about. Tampa Bay was nervous. Okay. Philadelphia was nervous.
Okay, who, like, but are these Detroit fans, like, on YouTube, or are these, like, actual media people who have something more
YouTube,
than, all due
YouTube,
respect, more than a YouTube say, channel? You know I love YouTube. I'm on there, too. But, like,
well,
it's
true.
One thing to
that,
say,
you got
like,
a point. That could be true.
Like, are these people that are going to the facility and covering the team, or are these glorified fans? And the other thing about Ben Johnson that I'll say,
right.
Hold on.
You know
here's
what,
the thing
Craig,
about Ben Johnson.
Right. But
Ben Johnson gets to give one press conference a week, just like Cliff Kingsbury does. Like, there is no being quiet if you're a coordinator. Like, he does his job, he shows up, he's going to answer questions at the one press conference he gets, and then he's going to continue doing his thing. Like, these coordinators
fair,
don't call,
Craig,
talk.
Fair. Craig, are you going to let me talk?
Yeah, now I am, but I'm just laying the table stakes here on a more accurate representation.
I understand. I get it, Craig. I get it. But what I'm trying to say to you is this, okay? And this is what I told your screen caller. Jared Goff is not the most mobile quarterback out there. Todd Bowles gave everybody a blueprint on how to play Detroit Lions the second week of the season. And I think we all know Todd Bowles blitzes like crazy. If I was going against them, and this is going to sound crazy, but I would do it. And you get a lead, which I think Washington will get a lead. That I know for sure. Because Detroit has the worst defense in the playoffs, period. They have the worst defense in the playoffs. So they will get a lead. I would start blitzing Jared Goff until the Cows come home. And the reason why I say that is because, yes, I know they got – I get it. They got great players on the outside, and they got a great running back. But you know what? They got a quarterback that can't move. And this day and age, if you don't have a quarterback that can move and you're playing against a physical defense and they start hitting you and hitting you, eventually he'll start throwing interceptions. And that's all I'm trying to say. Craig, I love your show, bro. I love you. Because it seems like every time we talk, we're always arguing. And I actually like you.
Well, let me.
I
appreciate that, and like we can. I'm always open to like fun back and forths. Here would be my thing for what you said, Mark. If your grand plan is something that hasn't worked since week two, we might need to go back to the drawing board, because I have no doubt. Like, yes, getting after Jared Goff is, I think, a smart play, and I think that unlike last week where Baker. That might be true too, but there's a reason it hasn't worked since week two. And like that, I think is also relevant. And I do think that there are Commanders fans that hate Ben Johnson because of how last offseason went down and thus are underrating just how good he is. And I think that Ben Johnson knows that Jared Goff is not very mobile, and they won 15 games anyway and had a 33 point per game offense, the best in the NFL. So they have plans for that stuff. Now, if you can find a way to disrupt those plans, great. And that is ultimately Joe Witt's job. I'm just not blind to the gargantuan level of the task.
You might be right. You might be right on that. I still think they could win. But I'm gonna tell you something. I don't know how. I don't know, Craig. You're in your 30s, right? You're in your 30s.
I am.
Okay. So you don't remember the Commanders winning this? I mean, when they went to the playoffs in '86 and '87. You don't remember that?
I was not alive. That's how that math is gonna math out.
I got you on that. The reason why I say that is because it just reminds me a little bit. Everybody crapping on the Commanders and saying we don't have a chance. Look, this team won 13 games. Yes. I know they won 15 games. I get it. But 15 to 13 is not really that far. And I would say that is I think people need to stop sleeping on that.
I guess, Mark, here's the only thing. I got to run because we got full phone lines and we're also up against the break here. Mark, I appreciate your calls always. I think they're always fun. It's fun to banter back and forth. I appreciate Mark and anybody else who has a chip on their shoulder. I'm just going to tell you, I don't think anybody worth listening to is doubting this team. The one entity that I will give credence to that I have heard doubt this team is Vegas. There's no way they should be a 10-point dog. What scares me, Vegas has them as a 10-point dog. Now, they are fully capable of overcoming that. They have at other points this year. And double-digit favorites went down this year at a rate that was kind of unprecedented. We saw a ton of double-digit favorites lose. And I don't think that this is one of those situations. Like, I think these teams are closer to evenly matched. But like, 13-1, it was 12 in the regular season. And the Lions didn't play last week. Two, three games worth of NFL football is like winning 10 or 12 extra NBA games over the course of 17 versus 82. So, like, it is a pretty significant difference. And again, I think a lot of people look at Washington and go, that team scares the bejesus out of me. I don't want to play them. And the reason is simple. They have the best quarterback in the conference. But the worst defense in Detroit, I don't know that I buy that. I don't know that they're the worst defense on the field Sunday. they've had a bunch of injuries, but they've still performed at a high level. Like, I know our last taste in our mouth of the Minnesota Vikings is they stink because they got worked by the Rams. But the Minnesota was phenomenal this year, and they wrecked them in Week 18. Sure, there's a couple teams that got Buffalo, but there are a couple teams that got Detroit, but there weren't a lot of them. And the ones that did were really good. And it didn't matter in a lot of those games because Detroit's offense was that spectacular. So again, maybe I'm the hater here, but and I think Washington can absolutely win this game. And I think this is going to be really fun on Saturday night. I'm just not blind to how good Detroit is. And I will not hand them their respect, especially as someone who kind of believed in what Dan Campbell and them were doing from go and sees a lot of the same things in what Washington is doing. So if you want to believe in Detroit, in some ways it's a belief in what Washington is building here because a lot of the same principles apply, even if some of the roster building and some of the details are a little bit different. All right, more of your calls. We'll try to get through them quick. Next on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we're taking your calls. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. We're looking for one thing you're confident in and one thing you're scared of. Saturday night is the Commanders take on the Detroit Lions. Let's keep it rolling with Terrell in Baltimore. Terrell, thanks for calling. You are on The Hoffman Show. It's a little squirrely, but let's see what happens when you start talking and seeing if it cleans up a little bit.
Man, I don't know if you can hear me, bro.
I got you.
I have to put me on hold. Oh, there we go. Great. I'm glad you went to break after your last call. I needed a smoke break after him. But anyway, the thing that I am happy about, the thing that I'm excited about is, like, looking at this team last week, just being our best defense, being the sustained drives on offense, taking away time of possession against Tampa. I think we can pull the same thing off against Detroit. Specifically, though, and this is where I might ruffle your feathers, if our active running backs are Echols, Gonzalez, and McNichol, that's all I'm going to say. I think they would be more advantageous in the running back game to make sure that is viable. I'm a little over B-Rob right now, but that's neither here nor there. The things that really scare me, though, is this looming injury to Wagner's ankle, and if our O-line can sustain their rush. And then last but not least, I don't Minnesota coming out of a game with Detroit. Every team that plays Detroit seems to come out like bruised, battered, and just not the same. And win or lose, whether we're going into the offseason and taking this into next year, I don't want this to
We're losing Terrell here at the end of the call. Terrell, great call until your phone crapped out at the end, but I appreciate you, man. Thanks for calling. Obviously, he meant Rodriguez and not Gonzalez. I vehemently disagree with Zane Gonzalez running the football. He can kick. But no, Chris Rodriguez over Brian Robinson is an interesting call. And I struggle with this because B-Rob is running mostly pretty hard. I think there's some times as games go on that he's just not confident in what he's seeing, because why would he be? Because he's running into dirty looks a lot. Like, he just is. He's getting really, really poor opportunities. But at the same time, like, his rush yards over expected numbers aren't very good. And there's just a lot of nothing about it says, like, hey, this is going great. That's just like, could someone else do better? Are they going to have the same bad looks and get the same bad results? Or maybe some of these looks a little better if a different running back hit the timing a little bit different. And I'm willing to take that risk at this point in the playoffs. It's the playoffs. The question is, can you keep all of them up, or do you just bench B-Rob outright and be like, sorry, dude, you're down this week. Like, we're going with Chris Rodriguez. That's a big thing to do in a playoff game. It's a big thing to do to change your starting running back, because it's not just the runs, it's the pass pro, it's catching the ball out of the backfield, it's a lot of stuff. And, you know, B-Rob has earned the right to be the starter throughout most of his performance of the year, but yeah, he's cold right now. I don't think there's any way around it, and so I don't know what to do with that piece of information. It's a tough call. It's why Dan Quinn's paid a lot of money. Let's go to Tom in McLean. Tom, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
All right. First of all, I'm a first-time caller and love your show.
Thanks, Tom.
Yes, I've been a Washington Redskins fan since 1974. I've gone through, seen all the four Super Bowls. As you know, we won three of them. This is what I say why we're so positive about this game coming up against Lions. We have J.D. Five, probably the greatest draft pick in Washington football history. I'm going to say it right now. I lay it out now. The guy is humble. He's blessed. He's just got all the intangibles. And I truly think he's better than Jared Goff. And this is why we're going to win this game this coming Saturday. I'm super stoked. I can't wait to see this game. And I just think for some God bless reason, I think we're going to win.
Tom, I get it. I get it, man. It's very simple. Thanks for the call, and especially as a first-time caller. Like, if you got the better quarterback, you got a shot. No one's going into the game being like, we got the better quarterback, but we got no chance today. Like, that's not how football works. Now, we have seen teams with great quarterbacks get beat by better rosters, and Jared Goff might be the second-best quarterback in the NFC. Let's not forget who Jared Goff is, by the way. This dude was a number one overall pick, and while there was certainly some debate in that draft about, like, is he just going one because he's the best in a bad quarterback class? It was him. It was Carson Wentz. You know, should Wentz have been the number one guy? Like, he's North Dakota State. Obviously, that hasn't gone too great for a couple of good years in Philly, including a horrendous stop here. Like, there's just a lot of stuff around Goff because of what happened in LA, and he got traded, and, you know, obviously they've only been so good in Detroit. They haven't gotten to this point, or they got to this point last year and lost. So what happens? Actually, sorry, they got to the NFC Championship game and lost. So, like, can he lead this Detroit team? But, like, Goff is freaking talented as a thrower. I remember watching him it would have been his second year in LA, Sean's first year, when I was on the beat and they were playing at the Coliseum and going out there. And I remember watching Goff warm up and I just went, I get it. I get why this guy was number one pick. The ball flies off his hands. And when he gets hot, he's had multiple first halves this year where he doesn't register an incompletion. Like, when he gets hot, that offense can go. But he also has cold streaks. He is very streaky. He doesn't have a mobile element like Jaden does. So even if he's the second best quarterback in the NFC, like, he's definitively behind the first guy at this point. And that first guy is Jaden Daniels. And that gives you a shot, because if Washington can just be good enough to get to third and manageable, Jaden can make stuff happen on third downs with his legs and keep the game alive. And, can he hit a couple of shots down the field? And next thing you know, you got a ball game late, and we all seem to know what happens when there's a ball game late involving these Washington Commanders. Let's wrap things up with Carlos. Carlos, thanks for calling.
You're on
the Hoffman Show.
Hey. Yes, how you doing? So, I'm calling back because early in the season, I called in. This is my second time calling. And what I said, what your question was then, I'm going to have to change the topic. Sorry about that. Because you had the question, are the Commanders contenders? I called in. I said, no, they're contending. It was early in the season. It was maybe six games in the season. And I said, they're contending. Yes, that question is answered now. Contenders for the postseason. They're in the postseason. They are contenders for the damn Super Bowl. You got to get past the Rams, Philly, or Detroit. One of those three teams could be the one after this game with Detroit. I believe we can win, like a lot of us who believe. Either Philly or the Rams will be the next. Yes, they're contending. Yes, Jaden is the better quarterback. I just had a conversation with my wife. Out of the scale of Goff and the other quarterbacks, Jaden tips the scales in favor of being the better quarterback. Washington has a great chance of doing this. I go back to that early part of the season again, because I was in a store buying some beer, and this Philly fan was there, and he commented about, oh, this is not going to happen because you're the Redskins / Commanders. I'm saying from the beginning, this is a whole new team. Stop thinking about, and this is what I said on that call, stop thinking about this team in that light. Because this is the whole new team. Forget about that team. Erase that memory, because this team is a whole new team. It's almost like if you could call that you can't call it
an expansion franchise.
Franchise.
Yeah.
No, it's not a new franchise, but it's a new team.
Totally. Carlos, appreciate the call, man. Thanks for checking back in and eating a little crow and having a little fun with it, because the best part about being wrong in this case is your team's awesome. And I appreciate you calling back in. So, you know, look, man, this is what it's all about. It's getting to games like this. There are 8 teams left in the NFL, and the team that you root for, if you're listening, very likely is one of those 8. This is what it's all about. The heartbreak is real if you lose, but by the same token, I think you look at the way this team is built, and if Jaden is who we think he is, then they're going to be back here. There are no guarantees, and that's something that I would be preaching if I was in the building. But I'm not in the building. I'm a radio host doing a radio show, and they should be back here. They should. It's not guaranteed every year. Like Joe Burrow, you know, goes to the Super Bowl in year 2, hadn't been back since. They missed the playoffs this year. The NFL is hard. It's especially hard when you're good, because only one team gets to win every year, and maintaining, you know, keeping players becomes hard as you win, and another team start poaching your coaches. Like, it's just a hard, it's not set up for sustained success. But they have the one thing that tends to sustain success, and that is a top flight quarterback. And they happen to have it, by the way, in a conference where currently there aren't really any other ones, which would seem to be advantageous in the long run. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And I do believe Sam Fortier is done in the Commanders locker room, so he's going to join us with a live report next. It's the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and half hour later than usual, but we're going live to Ashburn, so it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Fresh out of the Commanders locker room, Sam Fortier joins us. Of course, the Commanders beat reporter for the Washington Post. You can follow him on Instagram and TikTok for some great digital content as well. Sammy, what'd you find in your? Did you guys go a second time into the locker room today? What was that all about?
Yeah, they had a short first availability because of a meeting, and so the second time we went down, we talked to Zach Ertz and Nick Allegretti. And who else? I'm walking out of the facility right now with Benjamin Standing, who is also congested. Ben, am I missing anybody? He said no. I think it was just Zach and Nick.
Okay. Well, I mean, those are two good guys to talk to. Allegretti is one of the great guys to talk to in that locker room. And with all due respect to whatever you got from those guys, the thing that people want to know, Sam Fortier, from you, sir, is what the heck is going on with Bobby Wagner's ankle? How serious is this injury, and how nervous are we about not just him being able to play? Like, he's going to play, but at what level can he play on Saturday night?
It's a great question. It's one that we did not anticipate when we talked to Dan Quinn on Tuesday. Bobby has not talked to us in the locker room. He's planning to do it tomorrow. We initially were going to get him in the second locker room open today, but he decided, hey, let's talk tomorrow. Like you said, I don't anticipate him missing this game, but how much does it affect him? I don't know. You know, we don't really get to see them do much more than stretch when we're in there for practice at this point of the season. And so I think it's a fair question to say, hey, with an interior run game that is as good as the Lions is, with the weakness that it's been for the Commanders all season, like, how big of a deal is this? I think it's potentially a big deal.
It's potentially a huge deal. I mean, he is such a big part of what they do against the run, his physicality, not to mention his leadership. And if there's anything clouding his mind of like, can I make it to my gap because his ankle hurts? Like, does he miss something else? Like, that's just the reality of a human being dealing with pain. In terms of how they deal with this run game, both Montgomery's back, first of all. Like, he missed the end of the season, but he's back for Detroit. Gibbs is both top 6 in the NFL in success rate and EPA per play. So he's always good and often explosive. How do you think they go about corralling it based off what you've been able to gather, asking folks about it, and what you've studied on your own on tape?
Yeah, I think that you have to – I don't know exactly what they do schematically, but you have to be better on the interior. If you look at it, you know, Detroit is – I think top three in EPA success rate and yards per carry in terms of between the tackles what they're able to do. And so, I mean, you obviously need excellent games from Daron Payne, who and John Allen and Johnny Newton. You need all those interior guys to step up. And so I think that it's a huge deal because we've seen Ben Johnson, and Joe Witt talked about this today, they test your discipline. They're going to find the weak point, and they're going to hit it. And, you know, if you look back against, you know, at Detroit's games against poor interior run defenses like Tennessee earlier in the year, I know they got better as time went on, but, like, I think they had 120 yards just between the tackles in that game because, you know, Montgomery and Gibbs, Sonic, Knuckles, like, they're really tough to bring down. And I think that Ben Johnson is extremely good at finding your weakness and exploiting it.
Sam Fortier is with us from the Washington Post. If that's not a hard enough day at the office for the Commanders defense, they also have to deal with Jameson Williams, probably the fastest receiver in the NFL on the outside, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had 1,500 yards last year on the other. So, and by the way, also Sam Laporta, like, there's just an endless amount of weapons on this Detroit side. Is the running game the thing that scares you most, or are you more like, I don't know, like, the running game is going to be what it's going to be, but if they hit some explosives, like, that's the thing that buries the Commanders?
Yeah, I think the answer is all of it. Like, their ability to beat you anyway, like, they've been in ball control, grinded out physical games, and they've also been in shootouts. Like, they're capable of doing anything. I think Jared Goff, when you watch on tape, like, he's just so good at managing those things. And, you know, when he drops back and then off play action throws a dig route over the middle, you're like, oh, like, he just is very good at managing and kind of being the coach on the field for Ben Johnson. And so, for me, I would worry more about the run game just because it's the Commanders' Achilles heel so far this season. And also, like, the best way to beat the Commanders is keep Jaden off the field and don't let him come onto the field where you're down one score or it's tied at the end of the game. And so I think that is what, you know, makes you nervous, because if you think back to the Dallas game, Craig, like, they were very successful third and short, fourth and short, like, running it up the middle. That was not a problem. And I don't think the Commanders have shown that they are able to stop it yet.
No, definitely not. And, of course, you could say the same in reverse for Washington's offense. The best way to stop the Detroit offense is to keep them off the field. And now we get to the point, Sam, where we acknowledge that you really unlocked the soundbite of the season. When you asked Cliff a couple weeks ago, can you win without running the football? And he was like, I don't want to, but yeah. And then they go out and do it in a playoff game. What did you make of his answer, though, today about why he kept running it, even though the run game wasn't working against Tampa, and what that meant to their overall success?
Yeah, I mean, he basically said, because Dan Quinn is a defensive coach, I've learned from him that sometimes you just have to stick with the run game because it's a mentality thing. It keeps them honest, you know, and it's particularly late in the fourth quarter, it burned clock. Like, I think that is a thing that people underestimate the importance of. And so to me, like, you know, what I made of his answer was he knows that he has to be balanced, you know, and that doesn't mean it has to be 50-50 all the time, but it means that you have to test the defense in both ways. And I think, you know, the Lions' defense, especially because they're banged up, I think there are going to be opportunities. Well, like, theoretically, there would be opportunities to run the ball. I don't know if the Commanders can capitalize on that. But I think that you're likelier to get them in the run game than you are in the pass game, even though they've allowed some explosives, just because they play so aggressively.
Right. So let's zoom out for a second on that concept before we zoom back into this game, because you're someone who's written about the analytics revolution in football. Like, you're very well versed in these things and know a lot of the people around the league who are implementing analytics and this kind of thing. And there's kind of this, I would say, media analytics community, some of which live on a very extreme of, like, basically you should never run the football because the EPA per play is higher for passing than it is for rushing. And then you have all these coaches that are like, I don't know, my entire life, like, teams that run the football well win. And now we've seen that balanced kind of approach work this season. You see someone like Cliff who's like, yeah, in my past I probably would have just aired it out, but I understand the value of running the football. How is watching this offense this season shaped your perspective on offense when it comes to running the football and the value of it?
depends almost entirely on your quarterback, because we saw Eric Bieniemy last year run a theoretically good offense if you're just looking at, you know, the data in terms of like how aggressive you should be in play calling and passes. And like, yeah, that works with Patrick Mahomes. It does not work with Sam Howell. And guess what? It does work with Jaden Daniels, because over the last four full games he's played, he's had at least 40 dropbacks, at least 10 runs. What he can do as a scrambler, like, makes up for a lot of things, not only in the run game, but just in play calling for Cliff Kingsbury. And so I believe offensive linemen, Mitchell Schwartz on Twitter, I think is a really good one. He used to play offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's like, look, momentum and like the value of running the ball doesn't show up in the data, but I felt it. I felt it on the field, and you can't tell me that's not real. And I totally buy that. And so I think that, like, it just depends. What is the best way for you to win? Because I promise you, Andrew Wiley, Nick Allegretti, Mitchell Schwartz, guys that play with Patrick Mahomes, they don't mind pass blocking 65% of the time if you're going to the Super Bowl. It's just when you do that and you suck, that's a problem.
Right, and then I think there's also the downside limitation of it, and I think that's been the magical thing about, especially last week, like to drop back 40 times as a rookie in a playoff game and have no turnovers is an all-time type of performance, and Jaden specifically's lack of turning the football over makes the formula work, because running the football, yes, you can fumble, but the likelihood of fumbling versus the likelihood of throwing an interception, like, it's probably less than half, if not even more severe in terms of risk aversion. And so I think the other thing that's an element here is the impact of big explosive plays that are positive. And then even if you want to look at last week, like the impact of a turnover, I'm sure it's somewhere dispersed through the data, but it's almost hard to capture how calamitous it can be, especially if it's in the area of the field that, like, Tampa turned it over with Baker missing the jet sweep to McMillan on Sunday night.
There's a meme on Twitter that I don't know if I'll do a good job explaining on the radio, and if I don't, please let me know. But, like, it's like a bell curve of, like, how well you know ball. And it's like the dumbest person and the smartest person are saying, like, oh, like, the good player, like, give the ball to your good players. And then,
it's just like a circle.
It's like the smartest person know, like, give the ball to your best player the most amount of times, and like Jaden has proven he will not turn the ball over. So like giving him 40, you know, we haven't seen 50 yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they did this weekend because of how the Lions play defense, and I want to talk about that more. But like, if Cliff Kingsbury said, hey, our best chance to win this game, if we can't get the run game going, which we probably won't because we haven't for weeks, is like dropping Jaden back 50 times and being like, go win, I'd be like, yeah, that's a totally defensible, if not like encouraging strategy.
I don't disagree. Sam Fortier with us here on the Hoffman Show, guiding his own interview right back where I was going to take it anyway. So good work on that. You're doing TikToks, you're doing Instagram Reels, you're doing YouTube Shorts. Next thing you know, you'll be hosting a radio show. Just warning, Sam, it's a lot longer. The radio show's much longer than 60 seconds. I know you can do longer on some of those platforms now, but we're here for 3 hours every day, so you settle down over there. Let's zoom back in on that aspect of it, though, with the Lions defense. They play a ton of man coverage, and there's part of me that's like, fantastic. You're not going to have eyes on Jaden. He's going to run all over the place. Terry McLaurin could have a field day. There's part of me that goes, okay, well, they did a pretty good job on Justin Jefferson a couple weeks ago, and who else for the Commanders is going to be able to beat man-to-man coverage? Where do you kind of fall on that spectrum, or is there another aspect of Detroit's defense that you actually even find more interesting than that?
It's a good question. Basically, when I watch Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for the Lions, I'm like, this dude wants to beat me up. He plays man coverage to the highest rate in the league. He blitzes at the third highest rate in the league. He plays base defense with that third linebacker at the highest rate in the league. His defense is the second most penalized in the league. Like he is super aggressive. And, like, because of that, like, they hit a lot of teams in the mouth. But because they take so many risks, they also get burned. They've allowed the fourth highest rate of explosive plays, particularly in the pass game. And so to me, it's just like, you know, Cliff, I think, had an awesome answer that you should play if you haven't already today, where he was like, Aaron Glenn like, he's going to get you. He's going to get you for sure. You're going to take a negative play. You know, you're going to have a big negative. But you can't become an emotional play caller. Like, you have to stay within yourself and say, okay, he got me. You know, maybe he gets this drive, but we can get him in the long term because he's so aggressive. And to me, that's the perfect encapsulation of how you beat this defense. Like, yes, I think the specific matchups are really important. Terry, you know, no matter which corner he goes up against, I think he's going to have chances to win man coverage. We talked to him about that today. But to me, it's about Cliff sticking to his plan because Aaron Glenn is going to get you, but can you get him back?
Right, and we will play that coming up in our pick six at 6 at, well, 6 o'clock. So, again, Sam just driving the ship in the direction it was already going, so continuing to do a great job on that. But I think that the kind of the follow-up, and this is a second-layer question, if you will, off of that is, if there are opportunities to take shots with frequency, because that's how they play, do you take them all? Because normally explosives is what you want. Like, you live in the NFL to try to get big explosive plays down the field. The percents are so dramatically shifted if you have a 15-plus play or 15-plus yard pass or a 10-plus yard run on any given drive of scoring a touchdown. But they have to have the clock management part of this game as well. So how do you think Cliff approaches that dial? How does Jaden approach that aggressiveness dial?
I think you have to take your shots early because they're going to be aggressive. And I know that if those shots don't hit, that could lead Detroit's offense to get ahead. You know, and if they get up 2 scores, I think that's going to be really difficult because of what we talked about, their strength running the ball, the Commanders' inability to stop the run. It could get out of hand in a hurry. But if you're 8.5-point underdogs, I think you have to take your shots to go into a really difficult place to play and pull off an upset against the Super Bowl favorites. And, Craig, to me, that's why the X factor in this game for the Commanders is Deami Brown, because the Commanders don't have another deep threat. I know OZ. I know Jamison Crowder. Those guys have had moments. But Deami Brown is the guy who can win deep, who can beat man-to-man coverage, stack guys, and make plays down the field. He's just done it really inconsistently throughout his entire career. He had, I think, one of the best games of his career last week. And my question is, can he sustain it? Because he has a huge opportunity to change this game because the Detroit Lions are going to try to take away Terry. But if he can step up and make them focus on him, that changes the Commanders' entire offense, in my opinion.
No, that's been true since the moment Noah Brown went out. Like, the one game they didn't have Deami was probably their worst offensive performance since Noah went out, because it was literally just Terry or nothing, because you can cover all those other guys underneath. Like, Jameson's a good zone player or even a good man beater on, like, quick slants, quick outs, anything that happens now. But he's a 4-6 guy. Corners are going to catch up. OZ, same kind of player, more of a quickness power player, not someone with long speed, and Deami has that. So I think the other part about what you just said, Sam, that kind of goes to something you said earlier, is what's the fear if you are down in a game? It's that, oh, we're going to have to drop our quarterback back all of a sudden and throw it 50 times. You just said 3 minutes ago that might be the strategy anyway. So the idea of taking risk early to fall into the same game plan you might have anyway, my question on that would be, like, would Dan Quinn, the defensive head coach, go for that? Or is he like, no, that's not how we're going to do things? Because I think for Cliff, there's probably a part of him that's looking at the tape going, I don't know, could be fun.
I think that Dan Quinn, like his fourth down aggressiveness, is probably going to have to embrace a level of aggression that might have made him feel a little queasy in his first stop in Atlanta, right? Because, you know, like we've talked about, you cannot win running the ball, taking the points, blocking the Detroit Lions. I think a perfect example of that is, Craig, you might have you know, remembered this from early December, but the Lions were in a tie game. They were on the Green Bay 21 with about 46 seconds left.
Yep.
And they didn't take a short field goal to take the lead and to give the Packers the ball back. They went for it, which was, like, I was watching the game and I was like, this is insane. Like, I think every football coach in America would probably say, take the points, get the 3-point lead, and then trust your defense. But Dan Campbell said, no, we're that aggressive. We're going to go for it, run the clock out, then kick the field goal. And it worked. And I asked Dan Quinn about it, you know, whenever we talked to him next, you know, if he saw that, what he thought of it. And he was like, look, man, like, they have a level of aggressiveness that they've committed to, and it worked out for him. It was a good call. And so, to me, I think that Dan Quinn understands exactly what he's getting into, and so he's going to have to throttle up.
No, I think the other part of that is something that Quinn has realized over the last month, too, that he might be a defensive head coach, but this is an offensive football team. He can want to be a defensive football team, and maybe over time they become a little bit more balanced, but Dan Campbell plays like his offense is the better unit, and specifically in that game, that was like at the absolute peak of the Lions' injuries, and I think they had even lost some guys on that night, so they were as thin as they could possibly be. They didn't have a chance to bring in replacements yet, and so he's like, my defense isn't my defense. I'm just going to win the game with my offense because they're the best unit in maybe in all of football. And so I think Quinn has adopted that. He realizes that he's got the best player on the field in Jaden Daniels, and he's played the last month like he has the best player on the field, and nowhere is that more true than going for it five times, including, by the way, twice on the first two drives when he didn't get it the first time against Tampa. That was the thing that I was like, here is the Dan Quinn test. Here is how far on the Dan Campbell meter have you gone? And he answered the bell, Sam. He went for it again, even though he missed it the first time.
Craig, I want to share something with you that I'm using in a feature probably on Friday, so just a little sneak peek. But I'm writing a story about Jaden's composure and just how poised he is. Like, that's the word that I feel like people are associating him with him so much, right? It's not just the talent. It's that, like, when the field goal goes in, he doesn't even really react. And after they miss that first fourth down, Sam Hartman, the practice squad quarterback who's been training with Jaden since, you know, before the draft in California, they're close friends, he told me Jaden walked by him on the sideline and winked. That is the level of confidence that we are talking about with Jaden Daniels. And if I saw that as a coach, I'd be like, yeah, run that guy out there and give him the ball as much as you want.
That's awesome. I can't wait to read that story. You all can read it as well when Sam hits that magic publish button on Friday. Well, his editors, but you get the point. On Friday in the Washington Post at WashingtonPost.com/sports. Also, make sure you're following along. Just search for Sam Fortier on TikTok, on Instagram, all the great digital content he's producing, including updates from the facility each and every day. Sam, always appreciate your time here on the radio, sir. And anytime you want to try filling in for me, let me know since you're already halfway there.
Thanks for having me, Craig. And I don't know what the math is on that, but I think that, like, a radio show is like,
it's a lot of TikToks,
180,
bro.
A lot of TikToks. I'm not a math guy, so
yeah, no, I'm not either.
I appreciate how hard it is, and I think I'm good for now.
Okay, if you change your mind, you have the direct, you got the bare bones, right? We can help you with some of the lengthening out for the. And plus, hey, I don't have to deal with an editor. The words come out of my mouth, and bang, there they are, for better or for worse. Safe travels, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's Sam Fortier with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, he mentioned a couple things that Cliff said that you should hear. We've got those things in our pick six at six next.